Hi, everybody, and welcome to Represent, the podcast from your friends at the Represent community who are focused on bridging the gap between the wide distribution of incredible creative talent and what has historically been a significantly more narrow distribution of opportunities for careers in creative fields in media and entertainment. I'm Catherine Schotthofer. I'm the CEO of Original Media Ventures, and I'm excited to be your host for the first Represent podcast. First off, if you haven't already registered for Represent, head on over to heretorepresent.com and do that right now. Members of Represent will have access to media and entertainment industry tips, information, and inspiration, as well as opportunities to connect with paid gigs and opportunities to pitch film and TV projects directly to decision makers. Represent was designed to lift up the voices and the talent of creatives from traditionally underrepresented backgrounds across the country and soon around the world, because we really believe that the world is ready for our screens to honor, respect, and celebrate the broad and beautiful spectrum of lived experiences. Now with that, I'm going to kick off this series by talking about one of the greatest myths of Hollywood, and that is the myth of overnight success. Movies and TV shows and exciting headlines make it seem like the path to a career is if you have talent and you just want it bad enough, eventually somebody with the power to make your career will come across your Vimeo or see your student film or read your story on that piece of paper that landed on their windshield after you threw it out a bus window. And sure, you'll have to work a few odd jobs between wanting it and your fairy god producer showing up, but if you just want it bad enough, it'll all work out. That, my friends, is not how shit works. This fantasy scenario ignores all of the really real work that successful creatives have to put in to make a career. It's a job, and a job that you continue to work at every single day. Doing this well not only means understanding your craft, but it means understanding the industry too. So I get asked a lot to do kind of informational Q&A interviews with friends of friends who want to work on the business. And so the rest of this podcast is essentially the same conversation that I have with a lot of them, which means it includes tough love and all. We'll go into a lot of this in detail over the next several episodes, but let's start with the most basic fact about the industry. There's a language and a culture that gets passed on from generation to generation that acts as a sort of industry ID card, and the only real way to learn it is proximity. And that's why you see so many people, regardless of their current role, saying that they started out as an assistant. Because when you work as an assistant at a studio, an agency, a production company, whatever, you learn that terminology and the lingo and the inner workings of how and probably why something got greenlit or picked up versus what gets passed on. This is also one of the biggest and earliest gates that the industry puts up, since in order to get an assistant gig and get that chance to learn, you first need to know A, someone who can help you get it, and B, be able to afford to live in LA or New York on an assistant's salary while still dressing the part and showing up at the right events and all that stuff. So it really automatically starts to exclude anybody who has a family counting on them for support or who can't afford a risky move, anybody who doesn't already know someone to help them get that first interview. So one of the things that Represent is seeking to do is really fill that information gap and make it more broadly available to anybody who's willing to put in the work to learn. When I moved from Detroit to LA a long time ago, I worked as an assistant at Dick Clark Productions. So for a sense of timing, we were working on development for the first season of So You Think You Can Dance. I made peanuts. I lived with friends. I picked up a bunch of side work to make ends meet. And I started by working for their head of business affairs. And those are the people who are kind of the deals and contracts people. And he'd come there after a long tour of duty at Viacom. And he gave me some of the best advice that I've ever received. He said, read every single thing that comes across your desk. And I did. Production agreements, guild contracts, distribution deals, licensing deals. It all started to shape an understanding of the structure of the industry, which ultimately rests on top of a whole lot of deal making. The good news is this is one part of the industry that has some good resources that don't actually require sitting at a desk in LA. My favorite resource in the area is a book called Dealmaking in the Film and Television Industry by Mark Litwack. Sounds incredibly dull, right? Well, it absolutely is. It is dry. It is boring. It is absolutely essential. I'm not a lawyer. You're most likely not a lawyer, but you have to know how to best advocate for yourself. And even after your career takes off and you can afford the pricey lawyer bills, you got to know what you're paying them for. So it's a resource that I would highly recommend. To make it a little easier, we'll send a copy of this book to the first person who tweets us at @RepresentByOMV and mentions today's podcast. And when we start to talk about things like contracts and deals, My friends, this is where a creative career starts to separate from creative passions. It is not all glamour and accolades and unicorns and pumpkin pie. It is a business, and you really got to understand the business if you want to be a part of it. So one of the frustrations that meets so many aspiring creative professionals is learning the difference between your art as a passion and your art as a product. So here's the deep down, dark, dirty secret that people don't like to talk about, but this podcast is grown-up talk for grown-up people. And so the industry may appreciate your passion, but it needs to sell your product. What do I mean by that? The industry loves to celebrate groundbreaking, auteur, cinematic creativity with awards and high praise, but those are not usually the same projects that are bringing in the big audiences or the big bucks. So, of course, there's certainly cases, don't at me, where people usually after an already successful career get to tell their story their own way, no notes, no input, and they get distribution and they make money. But then there is the other 99.99999 whatever percent where creative team has worked really collaboratively together and they've been keeping an audience in mind throughout the creative process. I spent part of my career marketing films at studios like New Line and Warner Brothers, and I learned a really, really deep appreciation for a filmmaker's vision. But I also realized how often that vision was kind of disconnected from what the audience wanted to see from their film. So our role in marketing was to bridge that gap. And quickly you learn the most successful filmmakers were the ones who knew their audience and knew what they wanted to see. And at this, there's really, it's not a secret, right? What they want to see is a good story. However you choose to tell it, a good story is a good story. And a good story can almost always find an audience. I see a lot of first-time writers, filmmakers, content creators pitching stories about their own life, which is wonderful and in many cases necessary for the world to see. But that said, don't be surprised if it's not the story that breaks you out. Your lens, your collection of life experiences, applies to every single thing that you do, and this industry needs a much bigger assortment of lenses. But that doesn't necessarily mean that your autobiography is the only story to tell. Look around your world for some inspiration. The people that you know, the characters in your life, what makes them funny or interesting or terrifying? What kind of lives can you dream up for the people that you pass on the street? What is it that makes you and your friends lose your minds laughing? If you let your mind run wild, don't limit yourself to the story that you already know when the power of your imagination is capable of so much more. And this is all part of a truth that affects all kinds of creatives, not just in film and TV, but in video games, in advertising, in music, in graphic design, and everything else. There's often a difference between expression of art as a personal narrative and art as a product that someone is willing to pay for. Now, I cannot say this clearly enough. Just because someone isn't willing to pay for your personal artistic expression does not make it any less important or any less valuable. It may mean the timing just isn't right or that it isn't a good fit, just that they don't think that they can make money on it at the moment. It does not mean that your work isn't meaningful or powerful or valuable. Your personal artistic expression is not bound by what people are willing to pay for it at the moment. That said, it is also true that no one is obligated to pay you for your personal artistic expression. So the more you understand how the business works, the more you'll know how to identify and partner with people that are more likely to become the right collaborators and partners to support your creative vision. So let's get back to where we started, this fallacy of the overnight success. This trope that I really believe discourages a lot of talented creatives, especially those who haven't got a direct line into the industry, from pursuing a career that seems based mostly on luck. The good news is that there's a lot that you can do to make your own luck, regardless of where you're from or where you live or who you know. And we're going to cover a lot of that in upcoming episodes of this podcast. So for now, for today, for tonight, whatever time you're listening, how do you get started? I saw a tweet recently where somebody gave a shout out to all the writers who were trying to cram in their creative practice in real life rather than heading off to some cabin in the woods or a hotel to do it. And if I could double like and add an exclamation point on that tweet, I absolutely would. Most creative professionals that I know working today, whether they're a creative director at an ad agency, whether they are a graphic designer working at a video game company, whether they're a writer on a television show, they didn't hide out in a cabin to do their work. They got up early. They dropped their kids at school. They went to work. They stopped at Trader Joe's on the way home. You get the idea. But you really strengthen that creative muscle by working it out. And of course, having all the talent in the world won't help launch or further a creative career if you don't have some samples of your work to show the world. So for you writers out there, there's a lot of people who will say spec scripts are dead, but in my experience, the first thing that people are asking for is a writing sample. Same goes for directors, designers, and everybody else. Be prepared to show what you can do. I have two methods for forcing myself into a creative practice. So for me, that means writing a nonfiction book. So not quite the same thing, but it's applicable no matter what your craft. The first method is borrowed from the oldie but goodie called The Artist's Way. The general idea is that you attempt to fill a few pages of a notebook or a certain number of words or minutes of video or whatever your preferred media every single day in freeform. By freeform, I just mean let it flow. Don't worry about your punctuation, your consistency, your structure. Just let it go. Fill those two pages or more if you're so inspired with whatever crosses your mind. It may make no sense. It probably shouldn't. If you're a visual artist, turn on your camera, even if that's just on your phone. Let it go for 10 minutes and follow where your eye goes. If you're a designer, let your cursor flow. Don't worry about making it perfect. Don't even worry about making it good. Certainly don't worry about making it right, whatever that means. You can always delete it later. But the idea here is that you are just letting your creativity out. And this practice really essentially helps to remove a bunch of the clutter from your head and unblock those channels so that you can ultimately concentrate on creating what you want. The second method is to commit 10 minutes every single day to the business of you, treating yourself like the valuable creative professional that you are. Again, whatever time of day works best. For me, this is first thing in the morning, where you spend about 10 minutes reading industry trades, things like Variety or The Hollywood Reporter or Adweek. I mean, yes, they're super old school, but they'll give you a good sense of the marketplace and they're really easy to find anywhere on social media. And they'll also give you ideas for potential new contacts to follow on Twitter or LinkedIn, or maybe you need to set up a Twitter or a LinkedIn in the first place. Or sometimes it might mean taking a class related to your craft on a free platform like Coursera. There's all sorts of great free resources out there. You just have to do a little looking for them. Getting yourself in the habit of treating yourself like a creative professional will help the world start to see you that way. It's the beginning of that long path towards becoming a not so overnight success, but to enjoying a really sustainable creative career. For those of you who've been doing this for a while, we'd love for you to share your suggestions for a solid practice routine with the rest of the community. Just tweet us at @representbyOMV with all that brilliance, and we would love to share it. Of course, there's a lot more to know and a lot more options for types of creative careers, but we're trying to keep these podcasts short. That's why we built Represent, to help answer these questions and share everything that we know. So from here on out, you consider us your friends in the industry. Don't know how to write a treatment, don't have screenwriting software, not sure how to properly light your subjects, need some help with story structure. We'll be taking requests from our Twitter and Instagram for future podcasts and for our video resources. So if there's something that you want to know, just ask. In the next few months, there will be opportunities to pitch ideas to decision makers in film and TV, as well as apply for paid creative work with brands. This is your advance notice to start putting your pen to paper, or fingers to keyboard, or getting your links together, whatever your preferred medium, so that you can put your best foot forward as we start bringing friends from around the industry to this party. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us today, and we look forward to seeing you next time on Represent.